The following is a lecture to government employees, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 21st, 2016, in New Delhi, India.
So we thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming to this program. So we have gathered here today in pursuance of peace. This is a peace gathering. Peace means within and without. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gatvamam shantamrichchati. A person who knows me as the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme friend attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So what can we understand from this verse? This is not ordinary words. These are the words of the supreme authority, Lord Sri Krishna, the source of all existence. All the gods and goddesses actually are part and parcels of Krishna. This is why we describe Krishna as Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. So when he speaks in Bhagavad Gita, it is not the opinion of an ordinary man. It is the supreme authority. It is law, finished. So if we understand Krishna properly, we will have perfect peace within our own hearts. And if this knowledge can be disseminated very nicely to the suffering humanity, we will have perfect peace in the world. Just like now, ever since the Britishers left this holy land of India, it has been split into Hindustan and Pakistan, you see. And now they have made also that other division, Bangladesh. But actually, it was all India. It was all India. Prabhupada calls this the parting kick of the Britishers. If we can't have it, we will screw it up before we leave. This was the mentality. So there's so much conflict between India and Pakistan and so many places all over the world. The conflicts are going on. The ISIS crisis. So many things. Now in the U.S., shootings are an everyday affair. Someone goes to a shopping mall and shoots, or someone takes a knife and goes stabbing people. It's become a regular daily pastime. It's like they have soccer, they have mass shootings, another pastime. So why is there so much turmoil in the world? I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, why there's so much turmoil in the world. And that's because we've forgotten who is the center of everything. We've forgotten God. God is the owner of everything. Therefore, God is the rightful enjoyer of everything. And that supreme person, the source of all existence, is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the best friend of all living entities. So now we are trying to make a revolution to bring this knowledge to everyone. Ours is not a revolution of guns and bombs, dive bombers and submarines. Ours is a revolution of knowledge. We want to bring this knowledge to the whole world. If you can just understand that person who is the supreme owner of everything, the supreme enjoyer of everything, and the best friend of all living entities, then you will both individually and collectively have perfect peace and harmony. Actually, peace and harmony is the natural state of the living entities. Peace and harmony is the natural state of the human society. At the present moment, therefore, we can understand individually and collectively we're in a very unnatural situation. So it's not natural to be unnatural. It's natural to be natural. So let's get back to the actual nature of the living entity. in a state of perfect harmony with the Supreme Person. So then how does one do that? How do you bring yourself into perfect harmony with that Supreme Person? This means that your every thought, your every word, and your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances is being done as an offering unto Him. Yad kadoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So this science of how to dovetail everything with the pleasure of the Supreme Person, how to offer everything to Him, is taught by the bona fide spiritual master. As a young man, I was looking for spiritual peace. I was looking for genuine happiness beyond all the sufferings of material existence. And I could not find it until I was fortunate to come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. After being blessed with a bona fide spiritual master, then I knew what is the science of how I could perfectly harmonize myself with the Supreme. So now for the past 45 years, I've been practicing the science known as Krishna consciousness, which has brought me to a state of perfect peace and harmony beyond the chaos of this material existence. But I see around me a whole human society which is very much suffering condition. Therefore my life is dedicated until my last breath, and even if the Lord wishes, it's dedicated birth after birth to bringing this knowledge to all the people of this world, that let everyone know that there is a supreme owner, Krishna, and that supreme owner of everything is the supreme enjoyer, naturally, and He's the best friend of all living entities. So one may say, well, how you can claim that Krishna is the owner of everything? Actually, I do not claim. Krishna Himself declares, Sarva Loka Maheshvaram, I am the owner of everything. So how does Krishna authoritatively make such a claim that He owns everything? If you actually study the science of the universe and how it came into being, you will see that this universe is manifested by the exhalation of Lord Mahavishnu, who is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. The original form of God is Krishna. From Krishna comes Balaram. From Balaram comes Narayan. From Narayan comes Sankarshan and three other expansions, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. And then there comes a second expansion, a second quadruple expansion, a second Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha. And then Mahavishnu becomes manifest. So Mahavishnu manifests this universe in multi-billions and trillions of universes simply by His breathing. This is the power of God, you see. We struggle to create something. To build a house, we go through great difficulty to build one house, you see. Or to manufacture a car, great difficulty we go through. But God can simply lie down and in His sleep, He manifests millions and billions of universes fully equipped with planets, with rivers, with oceans, with food, with everything, with air, with everything required to live peacefully and happily. So this is all coming by the arrangement of God. You see, we have not manufactured food in our laboratories. Food is the gift of God. We have not manufactured water in our laboratories. Water is the gift of God. We have not manufactured air in our laboratories. Air is the gift of God. We don't depend on these laboratories. They've only been around for 200 or 300 years. What we actually depend on is God Himself. By His loving mercy, He's providing a place for each and every one of us. It's like the parents will make sure all the children are facilitated very nicely with all their necessities. That supreme, one supreme eternal, nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahonam yobadadati kaman. That one supreme eternal is supplying all the necessities of the plural eternals. So since that supreme person, God Himself, is providing everything, don't you feel you owe Him something to Him? Don't you feel indebted that He's providing you everything? You think you can just ignore Him? Would it be proper to ignore your parents after they raised you and fed you and clothed you? That would be very offensive to ignore your parents, you see. Even in the Christian Bible it says, honor thy mother and father. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the mother and father are worshipable superiors. So if our mother and father are so much not to be neglected, so much to be honored and respected, how much more so we must honor that original father and mother of all of existence, Krishna or God Himself, Bhagavan. Just if you neglect your parents, you're an ingrate, an ungrateful person. A person who is ungrateful cannot be happy, because happiness is based on loving reciprocation. Similarly, we cannot be happy, fully happy, or properly happy, unless we learn how to reciprocate with that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. So therefore, we should find out, how can I reciprocate with God? He's giving everything to me. How can I reciprocate? I was raised as a Christian. We were taught that God is great. But we were never taught how to reciprocate with God. You see. That training was lacking, how to reciprocate with God. There's a young spiritual seeker back in 1968, a youth in Denver, Colorado, USA. I found a wonderful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyong yo me bhakta prayachtati tadaham bhakta pravritam mushnami prayatatmanaha. If you will offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. And I was amazed. Wow! You mean I can actually offer something to God and He'll accept it? The idea we had in Christianity was God was some big figure way off in the millions of miles away. You could never approach Him and you know, have some reciprocation with Him. But here, in the beautiful wisdom coming from Krishna, historically passed down for thousands of years here in the holy land of India, you see, with this amazing knowledge. So I decided to go to India after that, become a sadhu in India. Didn't happen immediately, but now I am in India, living the life of a sadhu. You see. Because here in the Bhagavad Gita, you actually learn how to reciprocate with God. How you can give something to Him and He will accept it. God is so huge, He's so powerful. He's all powerful, He's all beautiful, He's all renowned, He's all wealthy, He's all knowledgeable, He's all famous. He's the biggest superstar in all of existence. And He'll accept something from little old me? You see? This is revolutionary. Bhagavad Gita is revolutionary knowledge which can actually change the whole world. Therefore, this Bhagavad Gita must be widely propagated to every country. Former President Bill Clinton, he has received Bhagavad Gita as it is, but by Prabhupada's Gita. My disciple, he was out one day in Los Angeles on the sidewalk distributing Bhagavad Gitas, you see. And this big limousine pulls up and out comes Bill Clinton, the former U.S. president. And everybody's all, the Secret Service men were there to protect him. Everybody's thinking, oh look, Bill Clinton has come. And when Bill Clinton ignores everybody, he goes right over to my disciple. And he shakes his hand. My disciple. My disciple presents him with Bhagavad Gita as it is, you see. So when these leaders, you see, the presidents, the prime ministers, the parliament members, the congressmen, the senators, when these government leaders all over the world, when they can read and understand Bhagavad Gita, it'll be a new era of peace on this planet. We won't need all this big expenditure for defense, for missiles, for bombs, for soldiers. We can have some military, but we don't need such huge, huge expenditure. In every country, huge amounts of expenditure. You see, just a bit, just because of this conflict going on between nations. Actually, we're meant to have one world government. Right now, we are here in New Delhi. This was the former Hastinapur. This was the capital of the whole world. Do you know? We're sitting in what was formerly the capital of the entire Earth planet. So Prabhupada says, actually, we should have one world government. So what nation will actually embrace Krishna consciousness fully? They can, that's where the world government can be seated. Whether it's India, Mauritius, Fiji, the United States, France, Germany, doesn't matter what country. But let some country fully embrace Bhagavad Gita as it is, as a guiding principle. India is the best candidate, because your prime minister comes to our temple. India is the best candidate, you see, of any nation in the world right now. India is the best candidate. We're not talking about government by guns. We're talking about knowledge. The whole world should understand that there is one supreme person, whether you call him Allah or Jehovah or Christ, Buddha, Krishna. God has unlimited names. But of all these names, the name Krishna is considered the topmost name, because just like a diamond with multi facets, you see, every name of God is a facet of His glories. The name Krishna includes every single name of God within it. Within Krishna, you will find the name Allah, you will find the name Christ, you will find the name Buddha, you see, Nrsimha. All the names of God are found within these two syllables of Krishna. Therefore, when you chant especially this name, Krishna, there's so much nectar, you can't even begin to experience all of it. Well, you can begin, but you're not going to... It takes years and years of practice. Even lifetimes of practice. It's described by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandavani vitang vitanate tundavali labdeye karna krudha gadamani gatayate kunabhide braspiham cheta pangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jani janita kriyadbir amitai krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami, one of your greatest saints of India, he says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar. Krishna is dancing on my tongue, oozing out so much nectar that my one little mouth can't hold hardly any of that nectar. And when I vibrate Krishna, Krishna enters into the holes of my ears, emanating so much nectar that my two ears... I need billions and trillions of years to capture that nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm stunned, I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental ecstasy. So this name Krishna is especially powerful. Therefore, this greatest of all saints of history is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. It started a movement, the Krishna consciousness movement. It is not a religion, another sect of religion. It is the science of religion in its original pure form that includes all sects of religion within it. The Krishna consciousness movement doesn't mean you have to switch your religion. If you're a Muslim, become a perfect Muslim. If you're just like I was a Christian, I'm still a Christian. Now I'm a perfect Christian, you see. Formerly, I could not follow the Ten Commandments given in the Bible, but now easily I follow all the Ten Commandments, you see. So, when you become Krishna conscious, you become the perfect Buddhist, the perfect Muslim. Just like one day in the Toronto airport, one little girl, she said, "Are you a Muslim?" And I said, "I'm a perfect Muslim." So, when you become Krishna conscious, you become perfect in all religions. Because this is the pure essence of religion, to fully surrender yourself to God. This is what Krishna says in Gita. Sarvadharman paritya mang ekang sharanang vraja ahang tang sarvapape bhyo mokshyasami marshuchaha. Give up all this, these other conceptions of religion, you see. Give them up. They are not the highest principle. You simply fully surrender. Even Hindu, you see. That's a, you know where the word Hindu came from? The Muslims. It's a word coined by the Muslims. So, we are not really Hindus. We are followers of Sanatana Dharma, you see. The eternal religion of the soul. That is, we are actually Sanatana Dharmis. The eternal religion of the soul. And anyone can be a Sanatana Dharmi. If they're fully surrendered to the will of the Supreme, as a Christian, as a Buddhist, or whatever they may be, a Jew, anyone who has fully surrendered to the will of the Supreme, they are perfect in Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the soul. Dharma means that which is inseparable from the living entity. Just like the Dharma of sugar is sweetness. The Dharma of chili is hot, you see. So what is your Dharma, you see? What is your intrinsic nature that cannot be separated from you under any circumstance? Your actual nature is to serve, you see. Everyone wants to serve. They want to serve their family, their country. If they have no family, we see, especially in America, they get one dog. They serve the dog. Everyone wants to serve. That's our nature. So the perfection of that service is when you can serve everyone and everything perfectly. How do you do that? Well, how do you serve all the parts of your body? Every part of your body needs nutrition, isn't it? Every part of the body needs nutrition. So how do you serve each and every part of your body? Give all the each part the nutrition it needs. Do you give an injection to your hand, injection to your elbow? Do you put sweet rice in your ears? How do you take care of the nutritional requirements of each and every part of your body? Your brain also requires nutrition. So how do you do that? You feed the belly, isn't it? So when you feed your belly, you're serving every single part of your body, not just the belly. Similarly, God is the belly of all existence. When you give your loving service to Krishna or to God, then you're rendering the best service, the perfection of service to all living entities through all of existence. You're the best servant of your wife, the best servant of your husband, the best servant of your kids, your parents, your country, your community, the human civilization, all living entities. We even want to serve the trees, you see. Every living entity should be served. So when you give your loving service to Krishna or to God, even you're serving the little ant. Every living entity becomes served because everyone and everything is part and parcel of God. So we're asking you all, ladies and gentlemen, kindly give this Krishna consciousness movement your serious attention. Kindly study the literature of Srila Prabhupada. I have a book here. We have one case only. We only have 20 copies. My book here is Truth Works. For a 1,000 rupee donation, one can get a copy. It's very nicely printed in the West with color plates. It's available today. Anyone who takes this book, I'll give you a written blessing to your name. You give me your name and I'll write a blessing just for you and your family, whatever you like, in the book. But now I'd like to open it up if there's any questions. We have a few minutes left. Does anybody have any questions you'd like to ask me? You better leave it so it doesn't fall apart. I'm okay. Any questions?
shy to ask.
Take a question out of here.
They can ask questions. They have questions, but they're too shy to ask.
This book is all the questions you would ask are here in this book. I have an e-course on the internet. You go to joincourse.com or backtohome.com. You can sign up for my free e-course. I have 19,000 subscribers, and I get all kinds of questions every day. So these questions, the cream of the crop of the questions and answers are here in this book. So if you don't have questions now, you can find out your answers. Like someone says, how can I advance in Krishna consciousness? That's the question somebody had. How do you advance in spiritual life? The answer to that question is given in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Tadvidi paripatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. You really have to have a spiritual master. Without a spiritual master, you're not going to make it. Because you will take your mind as guru. But the mind is imperfect. You see? Your mind is imperfect. Here's a question. Though we know almost everything about Krishna consciousness, really, you're that advanced? I'm just beginning to learn. Though we know everything, almost everything about Krishna consciousness, but then we fail to properly follow it. Why? Well, the fact that you think you know almost everything, I think that's why you're having difficulty following him. You're a little proud, thinking you know almost everything about Krishna consciousness. That's why you're having difficulty following it. If you understood that you know hardly anything about it, you more humbly approached it, then you could follow it, you see. You have to be humble. You think, yeah, I know almost everything about Krishna. Yeah, I'm pretty advanced now in my knowledge. You see? So my wife, this is my wife here, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. My disciples call her Guru Mata. She's a very exalted Vaishnavi. And what's your point?
Someone may know the rules and regulations.
Someone may know the rules and regulations, why they don't follow them.
Why they fail to follow?
Because they're puffed up. I've detected. They say, I know almost everything about Krishna consciousness. That's why they're having difficulty following it, because they're proud. If you feel yourself very meek and humble, that's one of the symptoms of one who is actually Krishna conscious. They always feel very meek and humble. There's a saying in one of the British poets, he said, pride cometh before the fall. You see, if you think you know almost everything about Krishna consciousness, you're on the verge of falling down. You see.
One might know, but they may be lazy, or
they're
caught up in so much material things.
Maybe lazy. Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow, you see. Just like you all are working hard for your livelihoods, isn't it? Working so hard just to get some money. But how much value does that money have ultimately? You see, we come to this world empty-handed, we leave empty-handed, you see. So you have to understand what is actually valuable in this life. There's only one thing you can take with you. There's only one thing that's your permanent asset, and that is how much you have developed love of God. So just try to understand, this is the greatest wealth. How much I can develop love for God? Okay, so questions are coming in now. How to remember Krishna all the time? Well, just don't ever forget him. The key is get up early in the morning, before sunrise, and have a very intense meditation of chanting on japa mala beads. You can get it at your nearest. If you don't have japa, how many of you are chanting on japa mala beads every day? Raise your hands. Okay. So those of you who are not, go to your nearest ISKCON temple and get your japa malas. And every morning you get up and you chant your japa malas. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go chant very carefully, not carelessly, but very carefully chant, and then By that, you will go into a state of trance, where you actually feel connected with Krishna. And that feeling of being connected with Krishna then will come with you when you get out in the traffic, when you go to the office. You can actually keep it with you the whole day if you'll chant 16 rounds very intensely, very carefully. You'll feel connected the whole day, you see. You'll be able to see everything in relation with Krishna. When you come here, you can see, oh, this is the property of Krishna. These buildings, they belong to Krishna. All these buildings should be engaged in the service of Krishna. This tree is the product of Krishna's energy. Therefore, the tree should be used. Actually, we're engaging the tree in Krishna's service by having this pravachan underneath the tree, you see. So, by having that intense meditation on Krishna's holy name every morning, you'll come out in the world and see everything in relation with Krishna and how to be humble always. That's why it's important to have a spiritual master. Because your spiritual master is your absolute authority. You have to absolutely humble yourself to your spiritual master. Whatever Guru Maharaj tells me, I do it. I'm fully surrendered to him, you see. A guru is essential to develop humility. If you don't have a guru, you can't become humble. Because you're still on your own program, my own agenda. You have to give up your own agenda and take the agenda of your spiritual master as your life's work. What is important, devotee care or donor care in Krishna consciousness life? Well, devotee means donor. There's really no difference. Devotee means one who has donated his whole life in Krishna's service. So, he is a donor and devotee are actually the same thing. One who is not yet a devotee but is donating to the mission of Krishna Ganga, they're also devotees. As soon as you donate, immediately you're reviving your devotee mentality. Anyone who gives donation to help Krishna consciousness, they're automatically, they've already become a devotee just by giving that donation. They're doing it out of devotion, not out of fruitive gain, you see. Not getting something in return, material. So, to care for devotees, I gave a Bhagavatam class this morning in Vrindavan. And I addressed this point in my class. The great devotee of Krishna, Rupa Goswami, he described six kinds of loving exchanges with devotees. So actually we are meant to give our love to those who give to Krishna. Whether they give a donation or they give their life, it's the same principle. They're giving to Krishna. So anyone who's giving to Krishna, we should give ourselves to him or her to help them in their spiritual life. Any other questions? Want to add something? We have 10 more minutes, so I just want to point out that there's really nothing holding you back from spiritual perfection except for your desire, you see. You have to learn how to purify your desires. If you desire to actually become reestablished in your loving relationship with Krishna or God, you see, then He will give you all facility. You stay in your present position. Government employee, business owner, government official, doesn't matter what is your housewife, student, doesn't matter what is your position. You remain in that position, but understand what is your ultimate duty to reestablish pure loving relationship with the Supreme Person. So if you make that desire, and my desire in life is to now become a perfect lover of God, to become full and perfect and surrendered to the will of God. If you'll make that your focus and every day beg for it, then your whole life will be transformed. And how do you beg for it? Well, you can ask the Lord to give you full surrender to Him, but this Hare Krishna mantra is also begging the Lord that He please blesses us with full surrender to Him. Everybody repeat with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By praying this prayer, you're actually begging the Supreme Person to engage you in His pure devotional service. So if you intensely beg the Lord, do you think He's going to ignore your begging? I was just coming from Vrindavan here to Delhi, New Delhi, and we stopped for some petrol in one station. And two of the petrol workers, they were taking their lunch. And one dog, he was a little hungry, actually very hungry. He came and camped out. He sat there looking at the boy taking his lunch. He sat down with his tongue out and just patiently sat there, looking intensely at the petrol worker eating his lunch, just sitting there looking at him intensely, just patiently waiting. And the petrol worker, all right, he threw him some chapati once, twice. Gave that dog some chapati, you see. Because you see, the dog is here. He's being very polite. He's not jumping all over me to grab the chapati out of my hand like a monkey's do, you see. He's very politely sitting and waiting. Please feed me. Please feed me. Please feed me. So we have to become like that dog, you see. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless me with pure love for you. I'm patiently waiting here. I'm patiently waiting. You please bless me with pure love. You see. Just like that, if we have the learn, actually it is stated that the doggy is also our guru. You see. We can learn some very good lesson from the dog, how to beg for the master. You see. So Krishna is our master. So we just have that mentality, my dear Lord, you please bless me. I'm patiently waiting here, sitting at your feet. He was sitting at the feet of the petrol worker. I'm just waiting. You give me some chapati, please. I'm silly, patiently waiting here. So we have that mood, you see. Krishna, please save me. My dear Lord, please bless me with pure bhakti, you see. My dear Lord, please empower me. I can share your message successfully. It's like my ambition, encouraged by Prabhupada in his books, is to make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. I'm begging Krishna, please, my Lord, bless me with pure bhakti. And please bless me, I can make the whole world Krishna conscious before I leave this present body, you see. So I know that by begging Krishna for pure bhakti and the empowerment to spread pure bhakti, just maintaining that steadily at every minute, that mood of begging, just like that dog, you see. I know that Krishna is very kind, he will reciprocate with me. I know he will reciprocate with me. So just as I'm begging Krishna, I'm also begging all of you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm begging all of you, that you please give your lives to Krishna. Please do not cheat yourself by running after the temporary things of this world as the all in all. You can go for those things, for maintaining your wife and family and yourself. There's no harm to keep body and soul together. But you must always understand this is secondary business. Your real business in life is to develop pure love of God. Just like my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, talked about his own father, Gaur Mahande. Gaur Mahande was a Bengali and Calcutta cloth merchant. And every day he would go to the shop to sell the cloth, but he would come home and he would do the puja. Prabhupada said that actually, even though he was cloth merchant, his real business with puja, you see. So in this way, you make your real business puja, loving service to Krishna or God. You make that your real business in life, and I guarantee you, you become completely peaceful, completely happy, and you can liberate yourself, and you can liberate so many other people from their entanglement in this material existence. So I'll stop here. You want to add something? Okay. So I have my books here. Anybody would like a book, you can come forward and I will give you a personal blessing in your book. We only have 20 copies, so first come, first served. So we thank you all very much for coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And remember, you can get on my free e-course. You go to www.backtohome.com, backtohome.com, or www.joincourse, to join my course, you see. JoinCourse.com, joincourse.com. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.